Begin transcription.
Compliance.
Commission of the Compliance of 8540. Dictated by Iterator Tertius Galan and submitted as record to the War Council of Terra. PMN was a jewel turning in the void. Continents of deep green, ringed by vast oceans, wrapped in delicate bands of cloud. She was so like Terra, our ancestral home had once been. And like Terra, mankind lived upon PMN and thrived. It had not always been so. Following the cataclysm of Old Night, the Piamani languished for centuries beneath wicked aliens that held them in chains. Violent revolution drove the Xenos away, and for a century, PMN knew peace, alone in the night. A peace that was challenged by the arrival of grand ships. Though these were not the aliens intent on returning PMN to enslavement, these ships carried humans, like those of PMN. We came as heralds of the Emperor of Mankind, of his uniting of all humanity into a single imperium, of progress, a technological and cultural utopia beyond their wildest dreams. All of this we promised to them. If they bent the knee. The Piamani looked back upon their history, upon the bondage they had so recently cast off, and rejected us. We begged they reconsider, warning that those who refused to align with the Emperor's burgeoning realm would be visited again, and not by emissaries. Still, they could not bring themselves to give their fate over to the hands of outsiders. Even human ones. PMN would be free. And for a time, it was. That freedom ended the moment the Emperor's promised vengeance translated at the system's edge. We failed, PMN. We failed them by what we sent.
Lesson in Darkness by Ian St. Martin. Performed by John Banks, Beth Chalmers, Matthew Hunt, Jonathan Keeble, and Toby Longworth.
Natu! Bene mora!
Weapons filled the hands of the Piamani Triari squad sprinting through their flagship. The enemy fleet had arrived in system out of nowhere, as if they were part of the void itself. Since that moment, the Piamani had been fighting, and they were losing.
Uleas todol, Antaris todol, Creada todol, Halapus kilavetis!
As ship after ship from the defense fleet died, reports filtered through of hulking red-eyed giants rampaging through the lower decks. The Triari clutched their weapons tighter. The Imperial emissaries had warned of knights, gene-wrought gods of war, not monsters. The squad halted at a junction. Each man's stomach knotted and static boiled their tongues. Hair rose on arms and necks, ears popped as the air pressure shifted violently. Light and noise from the end of the corridor threw the squad to the deck. The Triari lowered their hands from their faces, scrambling to their feet and into a hasty formation. They peered into the darkness, blinking away after images that stained their sight as oily smoke swirled around their boots. Something was watching them at the end of the passageway, merged with the lightlessness like shadow draped over oil. Lightning rushed across hands, ending in scything silver talons, illuminating an inhumanly tall silhouette. Sparks exposed a gaunt face hidden behind a veil of dark, stringy hair. They glinted from a set of grinning teeth, filed into points.
Vimpasak!
The walls rang from kinetic scatter cannons and bulky spear guns. Any shot that found its mark barely scored the figure's buzzing plate. It didn't even break stride. In seconds, it was over, with only one of the soldiers left amidst the charnel house that had been his comrades.
Porta!
The man gasped, his weapon falling from his hands as he sank to his knees. The figure did not speak the man's language. He had no need to. The Triarius's eyes translated it perfectly.
Porta! Porta!
It was the most familiar word in the galaxy. A word the figure linked indelibly to all mankind. A word that made him hate them to his bones. Please.
Curse.
The demigod peered down, tilting his head to study the man with cold shark's eyes.
Curse?
Curse saw hope for an instant. Hope that died at the edges of his talons. Curse ignited his claws, splaying them wide and severing the Triarius into bleeding chunks. He hadn't even had time to scream. Curse spent several heartbeats watching the blood cook off his talons, filling his nose with the familiarity of burning copper. He shifted fractionally, his arm and shoulder giving off a soft, displeased snarl. The heavy plates of humming ceramites made him uncomfortable, not in any physical sense, but rather one of necessity. He stared at the bodies scattered beneath him.
My entire life, I wore nothing more than threadbare sackcloth and rags, killing with slivers of metal and broken glass. Simplistic ornaments and implements, but sufficient to my purposes. I never needed any high technology to dominate my environment. Yet, I conceded, one of many made after my reclamation. Appearance, they said, a powerful tool to cultivate. The image of the armored knight that seems marrow-bound within your race, exemplar of nobility to friend, formidable opponent to foe. Appearance. As though I did not render my entire world silent through its use. As though I were ignorant of the power of perception to bend humanity into compliance. I know such truths instinctually, as my creator must have intended. Surely the Emperor knows what lies in his children's hearts. Surely he knows full well what we are and what we will do in the years to come. Or does he simply not care?
Bootsteps drew the Primarch's attention, yet failed to move him. Squads of midnight-plated warriors passed, the corridor's darkness broken by the gleaming tourmaline of their eye lenses. Seeing Curs, the Night Lords faltered. The dilemma was clear in their postures, the desire to kneel in their father's presence so overwhelming it slowed them to a stilted scraping of ceramite boots. One look from their captain sent them forward, smashing every light source they came across to plunge the warship into darkness. Curs glimpsed the captain, Nivalis, in a puddle of blood upon the deck, and his mind draped a skin of flickering images across his vision.
I see a child, hauled screaming from the prison sprawls beneath Terra. I see Nivalis, of the Legion now, rejoicing. His gene sire has been found. He will never again enter battle without the Primarch whose blood beats through his hearts. He and his kindred speak, wondering just who their Primarch will be. Would I share the implacable resolve of Dawn, the Crimson King's esoteric mysticism, the soulful majesty of Sanguinius?
My lord.
Curse did not rise from where he crouched, his back to the captain.
We have secured the ship. Crew casualties have been minimized. All systems are in working order, as you commanded.
We control the bridge.
Yes, Lord.
Curse rose in a snarl of energized joints. He dropped something Nivalis could not identify onto the deck.
Secure the ship.
We have
Make certain Then meet me upon the bridge.
As you wish, my lord.
The Primarch slipped into the darkness, leaving the captain to look down on the Triarii's flayed faces, which stared back at him without eyes, moaning silently from slack mouths. Captain Nivalis approached two sergeants guarding the bulkhead leading onto the flagship's bridge, looking upon him with blank-faced helms in the gloom. Their midnight plate bore only superficial damage, scuffs and scrapes that did little more than mar the lacquer.
Casualties during the assault were light, Captain.
I had anticipated stiffer opposition in taking her. The elite of a civilization opposing us, and only 100 legionaries to bring her to heel.
Mortals, no matter their training or equipment, can only stand so long against a legion's might.
A lesson being taught to thousands of worlds across the Crusade. Tonight, brothers, Piamen is learning it firsthand.
Sergeant saluted, clashing armored fists against breastplates as the doors irised open. Nivalis arrived on what had been the flagship's bridge, but was now an abattoir. Bodies were strewn in all directions. Orphaned limbs dangled precariously from consoles, tumbling to the deck. People hung from the vaulted ceiling on chains and severed power cables, most without their skin. Nivalis had seen enough death to know from their eyes, set and glazed like dolls, that they had been alive while it had happened. The entire bridge crew had been slaughtered, excluding what Nivalis concluded was the Piemeni equivalent of servitors. Rail-thin men and women hung in glass flutes, their bodies deformed by spurs of pulsing psi crystal, linking them to the ship's inner workings. The technology was unmistakably alien in origin, drawing a revulsive sneer to Nivalis' lips. None of these slaves had been touched, oblivious to the carnage surrounding them. Nivalis was no stranger to death. He was a veteran of the Venori resurgence on Terra, and dozens of other campaigns won at the edge of 8th Legion blades. Theirs had always been a cold, clinical violence. Fear was a weapon, a means to an end, and the Night Lords wielded it like a scalpel. This was something else entirely. Nivalis removed his helmet. Butcher's spice filled his nostrils, so hot and immediate it stung his eyes. Something cold and silvery, a sensation he couldn't place, coiled around Nivalis's heart. His helmet crashed to the deck, his sword's tip sighing against the edge of its scabbard as his eyes, born in darkness, found his lord.
This ship is called Storm's Rock.
Kurz, perched atop the backrest of the ship's command throne, his inhuman height folded into a gargoyle's crouch. The Primarch flexed his talons, watching drops of blood slip from them onto the corpse of an aging man seated upon the throne.
Did you know that?
Yes, Lord. From the intelligence reports of the iterators first sent to this world.
I learned it from eating her master's heart.
Kurz licked his lips before nudging the corpse from the seat of the throne to spill onto the deck. Nivalis looked up from the corpse of the ship's captain.
Storm's Rock. Named for the battle that granted Piamen independence from a particularly sadistic offshoot of the Eldar Xenobreed.
Freedom won with the blood of thousands of hearts. Would they rail against their sacrifice, I wonder, if they saw how few years it bought before the end? How shallow a future.
Kurz stepped forward, the preternatural quiet of his movements betrayed by the waspish purr of his armor. He stopped before a console.
What are you looking for, Lord?
This ship's crew stands at 270,000. Excluding the servitor population, it leaves 180,000 living, breathing souls.
Kurz projected a wireframe schematic hololith of the flagship. The Primarch's talons flowed deftly over the controls, illuminating and expanding several internal sections.
The main hangar. There are adjoining cargo sprawls here and here. Empty them and tear down the walls. We need a large open space.
For what, my lord?
The crew. Gather them up, Captain. All of them.
The sun shone through thin clouds over Erebast, vibrant metropolis of Piemen. Peals of thunder drew millions of eyes upward as the streets darkened. The low clouds hanging over the city became a deep umber. Storm's Rock, their flagship, presented herself in all glory. Word had spread of war in the heavens. Prayer filled every mouth as their defenders rode out to meet the invaders. Prayer that Piemen might keep hold of its freedom. Horns blared from the ship, swaying trees and sending papers twisting through the thoroughfares. After the Battle of Storm's Rock, when the last alien died upon Piemeni soil, when freedom had been won, horns had sounded across the planet. It was the sound of victory, one that every man and woman of Piemen carried within their hearts. Cheers erupted from the city as they heard the call of triumph once more. People filled the streets with celebration. The invaders had been driven off. Piemen's future would remain her own. On a street corner, people halted in their revelry, craning their necks to see a growing circle of their countrymen at the center of the intersection. Something had fallen and struck the ground, reduced to an indistinguishable heap smeared across the rockcrete. More cheers were silenced, cut off and overtaken by a rising swell of alarm as another shape splattered against the pavement. Then another, and another. The people looked up, panic and confusion twisting their faces as a pinkish-red cloud poured down from Storm's Rock. Citizens scattered as more of the shapes came down. They crashed against buildings and flattened groups who failed to avoid their path. A woman screamed as one of the things smashed the roof of an autocab flat, seeing half of a skinned face staring back at her. Bodies. It was raining bodies. Kurz and Nivalis watched Erebast disintegrate into madness through the Storm's Rock's oculus. The blood had yet to dry on Nivalis's gauntlets, slathering him to his elbows. He had done as much as the men acting upon his orders. The Primarch had been right. They had needed all the room they cleared and more to do what he had commanded. They had even crushed down the deck into pits to heap the skins of the wailing souls who had been wearing them before being herded off the ship.
The Emperor, did he know what we would do here?
He sent me.
Kurz smiled, a ghoulish flash of teeth framed by blue lips that vanished as soon as it appeared. He looked back at Nivalis, eyes swallowed by dark pupils.
I am not here to be their last chance. After my father came to Nostromo, after he brought me into all this, he tasked my brother Fulgrim to teach me about Terra, humanity, the grand dream my father is building. Do you know what I learned?
Kurz took a severed head in his claws, tracing around the eyes with a talon's tip.
The similarities that humans share vastly overshadow any differences. No matter the language, culture, history, every one of them understands one thing. Fear. Fear is something so profound that it reaches into their little animal brains and renders them silent, malleable, submissive. Fear will bring peace and order to my father's new kingdom. It will bind humanity with chains stronger than any we could ever hope to forge.
Nivala strode to a Vox station, pushing aside a corpse from the strobing console it attended.
Transmission relaying from Earbust and sendings from an astropathic choir. Distress calls. We can jam them.
No.
Lord?
Kurzi's gaze did not stray from the head he held, as though he were speaking to it.
Don't interfere. Use this ship to strengthen the signal. Have the fleet do the same. Broadcast it loudly and clearly. They want their sister worlds to know what is happening to them.
So do I.
Pinpricks of light flickered to silent life as fires began to break out across the city. Order disintegrated, drowned by the human rainfall, driving the population into a delirium of fevered anarchy. Earbust tore itself apart, without a single Imperial boot on its surface.
My brothers, my father, they erect monuments of stone, of gold. I shall make mine of flesh, of humanity itself.
What of the civilian population?
These are enemies of the Emperor, Captain. Of progress. They were given a choice, and this is what they have chosen.
The head collapsed within Kurz's grasp. He threw it aside.
It takes 9 seconds to drain a body of blood. How many for a civilization? My mandate is to render this world compliant. Terra accomplishes this with swiftness beyond any invasion. Soon, all that we shall require to conquer is the threat of our arrival.
Kurz gestured for Nivalis to stand beside him. Even in the midst of everything, he could not look away from his Primarch. Despite the threadbare sanity of his words, the monstrosity of his deeds, his father was beautiful in a way Nivalis knew he was never meant to understand. This cruel angel.
My blood flows through your veins. You feel it. You know the truth I speak.
Nivalis looked at the blood drying on his hands.
We have always been the Emperor's retribution, his punishers. But this, sire, they will not call war. They will call it murder.
Two words for the same thing. I suggest you make peace with it, Captain. You are in my legion now. This is how Night Lords make war.
Kurz laid a talon upon Nivalis' vambrace, sliding it over the ceramite and gathering a measure of the blood upon its tip.
It felt strange the first time. Didn't it? Don't worry, my son. That feeling was simply your eyes adjusting to the illumination of how the galaxy truly works. It passes.
Nivalis looked up from his red hands. Both of his hearts thrummed within his chest. His face felt numb, his lips sliding back from his teeth. He was smiling.
I am this Legion's destiny, its final form, its end state.
So, we will all be like you then, in the end.
Kurz turned slowly, looking upon his son with haunted eyes.
No, not all. Not you.
The smile died on Nivalis' lips. The Primarch turned back to the void, the spell of his stare broken. Blood dripped from his nose, staining the hololiths in twisting whorls of scarlet.
This crusade is not some grand beginning, Nivalis. This is an end. The end. And it is one that will last an eternity.
Kurz blinked. His eyes seemed to focus again.
Tell me, what is the population of the capital city?
Last census reports it as 8.75 million, my lord.
Kurz looked down upon BMN, drinking in the vista of millions of enemies strangled by a fear he created.
Take the Legion to the surface, Captain. Gather them up. All of them.